And today we are going to talk about my most favorite subject, which is faith that creates miracles. And the faith that I'm talking about here isn't believing in anything religious or having a specific ideology. When I talk about faith, I'm talking about spiritual connection. I'm talking about using your spiritual muscles, your channel, your funnel of energy from heaven onto the earth, and allowing the Creator's presence to come through you. And when you open up your faith and you use this spiritual connection, you begin exposing yourself to the supernatural world, and you begin exposing yourself to the presence of the Creator. And when you do that over and over and over again through your soul's energy, not just through your mind, but through your soul's energy, miracles are inevitable. And so today we're going to talk about two elements of faith that create miracles. And the first element of faith that creates miracles that is very important is sincerity of the heart. The more we offer up our sincerity, our genuine desires from the heart to the Creator, the quicker the Creator responds. And our desires can sometimes come from two places. Some of our desires come from the heart, but some of them also come from our lower desire body. And I know all of you have one, okay? Mm-hmm. That chocolate cake you ate last night, that was your lower desire body. Or maybe it was spirit, who knows? But the more you allow the Creator to come through your soul, and the more you allow for the Creator to not come through your lower desire body, the more miracles manifest and materialize through the supernatural world for you. And today I want to talk about and share a story of sincerity of the heart and how when you combine that with faith, it creates so many miracles. So my first story of the day is about this Tibetan monk who was very holy, very, very humble, and he was on tour and he was going up north through all of these healing centers teaching about meditation and prayer in a different country. And when he was at the last leg of his tour, way up north, he had 2 days left for his visit to be over. And as he was eating the food, all of a sudden he starts getting sick, which is really odd because it's steamed vegetarian food. You know, you can't really get sick from that. But he had it in the morning and he got really sick. Then he had it in the afternoon and he got really sick. And by the early evening, he was in excruciating pain. So the center owner decided to drive him all the way down south, 4 hours to the best hospital so he could get treated. So they drive him down, he gets to the hospital, he lays on the hospital bed, and all of a sudden, all of his pain disappears. Literally, all of it is just gone. And he keeps trying to tap into the pain again so he can tell the doctor what's going on, but it's gone. And he looks at the center owner who drove him all the way down, and he's so embarrassed, and he said, "I am so sorry. I have no idea what happened. I have no more pain anymore." So he said to the center owner, "Listen, there is a motel nearby. I'm just going to go walk there and stay there for the next 2 nights, and then I'll just drive to the airport. I'll be fine. You don't need to drive me back and forth again. You've already done enough." So he goes and he walks to the motel, and he asks for the room, and all the rooms were full, which was really odd. So then, nighttime is coming, it's getting very dark, he's stranded in the middle of a foreign country, and he didn't know what to do, and all of a sudden he remembered the first center that he gave a talk in is only 2 miles away. So he called the center owner and he said, "Listen, this is the situation I'm in, can I just stay in one of your rooms tonight?" And the center owner said, "Your Holiness, I am so sorry. We have another retreat going on and all of our rooms are full." And the monk said, "Listen, I am so low maintenance. I'm used to sleeping on the ground. Just put a blanket for me and a pillow in the temple and I'll just sleep in the prayer temple." And he said, "Whatever you wish, it will be ready." So he walks 2 miles. Now it's late at night, and usually they close the prayer temple at night, but because he was coming, they kept it open. So he walks through the doors, and all of a sudden, he looks way off in the distance, and he sees a man there praying by the altar, and he is crying. And he keeps praying and putting his head up and down, up and down, up and down. God, please help me. The surgery is tomorrow. I don't know what to do. Please bring your servants on earth that serve you to help me. I need help. And he kept repeating this over and over again. God, bring your servants on earth to help me. And when he saw the monk come in, all of a sudden he cleared off all of his tears, and he stood up and he said, I'm sorry, I'm leaving. And the monk said, no, son, what is going on? I can feel your pain from across the room. And the man said, my name is Tashi, and my son is very sick, and he has been sick all year long. He was supposed to have 2 surgeries, and we had to keep postponing it because we didn't have enough money. I have been working 3 jobs. My wife has been working 2 jobs. We keep asking for everyone in the community who would be willing to donate or just give us money, but no one will because they know we're in poverty and we won't be able to give it back to them. And every night, I have not been able to sleep, so I have been praying with all of my heart, God, please bring the servants that are yours here on earth to help me, anyone who is willing to just listen and help. And tomorrow's the surgery, and I don't even want to go back home because I have to face my wife and my kid empty-handed and cancel the surgery one more time. So the monk says, how much do you need for the surgery? And he says, we've saved as much money that we can, and I'm going to convert this to dollars for you. You're welcome. But we still need $17,500 left to pay for this expensive surgery. And the monk said, I'm so sorry, I don't have that kind of money, but if you want to sit here and pray all night, please do it. Won't bother me. I'll just be sleeping on the side. So Tashi prays in the temple all night long until the morning. Morning comes and morning prayer services come, and the center owner walks in and asks the monk if he'll guide the prayers. So the monk guides the prayers, and everyone's chanting and praying, and Tashi decides to stay for the morning prayers, and he was going to leave right after. So the morning prayers finish, and someone walks through from the congregation straight up to the monk, and he was elated to see the monk. And he walks up to the monk and says, I cannot believe you are here. I heard you had a talk here 2 weeks ago, and I missed it because I was on vacation. And I wasn't even supposed to be here today. I went in my office. I always like going early morning before my employees come in to do some work, but our renovations in our offices started 2 days earlier than they were supposed to, and people were banging all over at 5 a.m. in the morning. And the sound irritated me so much that I came to the temple and pray, and I'm so glad I did because I got to meet you. And then he continued to explain that the monk was connected to his father, and the father was one of the monk's disciples for many years and learned so much from the monk that it changed his life, and all of the teachings that his father learned was passed down to him, and now he's passing it down to his son. So he was telling the monk how much this man had affected his life. And then he continues to say, I'm a very well-to-do man, thanks to God, he says. I own a lot of car showrooms around the area, and if there's anything I can do for you, if I can donate to your cause, if I can donate to you, anything needs to be built, please tell me. I would love, love, love to just give, you know, your cause some money. And the monk says, listen, son, we really don't accept money and we're not attached to material things. Thank you, though. Just say a prayer for my health. And then all of a sudden, the monk remembers Tashi crying in the morning, and he says, "But wait, there is someone you can help." And he shared a little bit of the story. And then the rich man responded, "Well, I have to tell you something really weird. Last night at midnight, my wife wakes me up and she is angry. And my wife is the calmest woman on earth. I've never seen her angry before. It scared me. And she pointed towards this pot in our house and she said, 'Do something with it.' And that pot that we have is a jar that we put all of our money and change into, and at the end of the year, we give it to someone that's in need. And because we've been so busy this year, the pot has been accumulating money for 2 years. And the monk says, "Son, I think this man needs more than your change, though. How much money do you have in this pot?" And he said, $17,500. The monk's jaw dropped. And this is a real story, guys. Immediately, the monk looks around to find Tashi, and he sees Tashi walking right out the door, and he grabs him, and he shares the story. And now all three of them are in tears, crying together, because this synchronicity is heavenly. And the monk holds Tashi's hands and says, "Because you prayed every day sincerely from the heart, asking God to bring the servants on earth that work for him to help you, do you know what God has done? God has moved your servants around like chess pieces. First, I'm up north, I get a stomach ache. I come down, my stomach ache disappears, then I leave the hospital, motel has no room, I have to come to the temple, so the temple door remained open so you could find me. That's how God moved servant number one. Servant number two, this man wasn't even supposed to be here today. His office was getting renovated, the noise was so bad, and it forced him to come to this temple. Servant number three, his wife had this stirring out of nowhere, out of character, making him put all of that money in the bag in his car, waiting for you. That is the power of your prayer, son. And that is the energy, brothers and sisters, that we want to tap into today. We want to tap into the energy of faith that can orchestrate miracles. And all the Creator needs is for you to use your faith, your spiritual connection, your prayers, because it uses that as fuel to orchestrate and move all the pieces around on earth to bring you what you need. And every human, every tool, every creature, even the wind is within the Creator's control. All it needs from you is an open channel so that it can come through you, and a sincere heart with sincere desires, so that the Creator can give you what it is that you need. So this is the first piece of faith that is so important. And the beautiful thing about faith, spiritual connection, that nobody talks about is faith is like a bridge. And it's a bridge that can move past any of your negative beliefs to still bring you what you need. We all know that our negative beliefs, our programmings, our unhealed thoughts and emotions can sometimes be blocks that stop us from attracting the healing, the miracles, what it is that we want. But when you use the power of faith, no matter how many blocks you have in your subconscious or in your psyche, faith, spiritual connection overrides it to bring you what you want. So in Tashi's case, he had, poverty consciousness passed down from his ancestors. He had a belief that you have to work really hard for money in order to receive what you need. He had all these beliefs that were blocking him, but it didn't matter because all he did was use his spiritual connection through the sincerity of his heart every day, and the miracles came forward. So that's the first element. The first element is using the sincerity of our heart to bring about what is in alignment for our highest will. The second element in creating miracles, I am actually gonna let you guys decipher. I'm gonna share another story with you, and I want you to feel through the story and tell me what you feel the second element of faith and need to create miracles is. So, the second story is a personal one, and it's about me and a lady called Peggy Sue that I will never forget. So Peggy Sue found us online 5 years ago, and I own a spiritual healing school, so we post a lot of healing testimonials online, all sorts of testimonials, like we've had cancers heal, we've had spinal injuries, just we've had all sorts of like, family problems, challenges, all sorts of testimonials on there. The reason I share this with you is because Peggy Sue watched every single one of the interviews, and when she first called me, she literally questioned me on each and every one. So already I knew this woman was a firecracker. And when we were on the phone, she said, "Katie, do you do packages for your healings?" I said, "Yes, do you want to do a package of three?" She said, "Great." We booked her in for a session. She came in for a package of three, and we had a great time. This woman walks in. She's super petite, elderly, holding a cane, but she was such a powerhouse and such a strong personality. She was the type that her no meant no and her yes meant yes, and you just had to go with her flow, whatever that was. And I quickly got sucked into Peggy Sue's vortex. So we did three energy healing sessions, and they were powerful. The energy flowed in through so beautifully, but this woman didn't have a tiny bit of improvement in her back, like not even a minuscule bit of improvement. She was still in the same amount of pain after three sessions. I said goodbye to her and sent her on her merry way, and then a week later, I get a call from her, and she says, "Hi, Katie, can I book another package of three?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, Peggy Sue, did your pain get any better?" She said, "No, I just got a message from the creator that I need to do another three sessions." And I said, "Are you sure?" And she said, "Why? Do you not like the pleasure of my company?" And I said, "No, Peggy Sue, I love the pleasure of your company. Okay, just come in." So we did another round of sessions, and session number four, we went in with the same intent. "Beloved Creator, beloved God, if it is your will, please heal this woman's back." And there was a lot of activity and energy in the session, but when she got off the table, no improvement. Session number five, she came back, no improvement. Session number six, I asked Peggy if she wanted to add other intentions into her healing session other than her back, since nothing was improving. I'm like, "Do you have anything else you want to work on?" She said, "No, I just want to work on my back." And I said, "Okay." So we did session number six, and we laughed together, beautiful energy. I gave her a huge hug at the end. She left, but no improvement. And I really thought I wouldn't hear from her again, because now we've worked together for six sessions, which is a lot. A week later, I get a call. It's Peggy Sue, and she's like, "Katie, it's time to book another package of three for me." And I said, "Peggy Sue, it's only been a week." And she said, "I really need to heal my back issues." And that started to make me nervous, because it hadn't already healed in six sessions, and she had seen no improvement, and I had no power. The power, it doesn't come from me, it comes through me and it comes through her. You know, it's the creator that facilitates this, and what if it wasn't meant to heal in this form? I was getting nervous of her expectations. So I said to her, "Peggy Sue, I have no control over what comes through in a healing, and I'm really uncomfortable with you relying on this for your back pain. I don't want to do three more sessions, Peggy Sue, and nothing happens." And she said, "Katie, I promise you, have no expectations. I feel so good after I leave. I've just been in an overall better mood, and I feel so connected. Even if my back doesn't heal, I'm okay." And I said, okay, come in. So she comes in for session number 7, and now she's received more sessions than people get with me in like a 2-year span. But she walks in with her chin held up high, prancing onto the table like, you know, she is meant to be there and it's her birthright and I just need to get with the program. So, and I did, I got with her program. So we did session number 7, nothing happened. We did session number 8, and now I'm pleading with the Creator, God, please, if you can just bring an ounce of relief to Peggy Sue, I beg you, if it's your will, please make this happen. She gets off the table and she's still in the same amount of pain. But she looks at me and she says, darling, that was a fun ride. And I'm like, I couldn't help smile at her determined soul. She was so cute. We do session number 9. She sits up from the session. I asked her how she's feeling. And she said, I'm good. And you know when someone's acting like they're good, but they're really not, but you can see it? She's like, I'm good. She said, I don't even need my cane. And she comes to sit off the table, and her back pain was so bad, she was about to fall off, and I had to put the cane in her hand. And it was at that time I knew I needed to have a conversation with her. I said, listen, Peggy, I want you to stay open to your other options of healing. I want to take a break. I need you to go home, and I need you to integrate. And I want you to look at, you know, what the doctors are prescribing to you a little bit more closely. She said, okay, Katie, okay. Not 2 days passes and Peggy Sue calls me. Hi, Katie, can I book another package of 3? And in my head, I'm like, hell no. But I didn't say that to her. I said, what happened to our conversation about letting things be for a while? And she said, I took your advice under advisement, and I decided to take my own advice. And I highly suggest you do the same, darling. And I thought to myself, this woman has kahunas. And I was very nervous. I was very nervous. I was nervous that she was in wishful thinking. I was nervous she was in a little bit of a fantasy land. And honestly, I felt like if I book her for more sessions, I'm now stealing her money because she just wants to work on her back issues and there's no improvement. So usually in the line of work that we do in our modality, if we don't see improvement after 3 sessions, we really just let it be. And so I said to her, Peggy Sue, we've done 9 sessions and this hasn't healed. I really need you to look at other options. I need you to speak to your doctor, take your doctor's advice under consent. Maybe you do need surgery. I also really want to protect your money, Peggy Sue, and how you're spending it. I just hammered her from every angle. And I went on and on and on. All of a sudden she stops me and she said, Katie, haven't you said that in every session, when you gather in the name of God, blessings that you need come through, even if it isn't what you thought it was going to be? I said, absolutely. The presence of the Creator always comes through the moment we close our eyes. She said, then why are you denying me my blessings? And I'm like, oh my gosh. Then she changed her tone and she said, honey, I have money to last me 130 years more. Don't you worry about that. And then she changed her tone even more and she said, I hold the utmost respect and reverence for these sessions. Every session is like a meeting with God. I promise you, I have no expectations from you or the Creator for that matter. Book my package. So we book her package. She comes in. Now we're at session number 10, and the energy is coming through so powerfully. We felt the presence of the Creator in the room. It was tangible, and it was almost felt like these sessions, they were like stacking on top of each other, getting stronger and stronger. But when she went home after the session, she was in more pain than when she came in. And so not only was she not improving, she was getting worse. She still came in next day for her next session. She was a trooper. And the presence came through so strong that me and Peggy Sue were in an altered state of being together. It was so intense. It felt like we were in an alternative reality. And when she went home that night after the session, she had the worst episode of pain she has had in her entire life. The pain was so bad, she couldn't even lay down sleeping. She had to sit up. They put heat packs and cold packs on her back all night long. Finally, the daughter called the ambulance, but she refused to go to the hospital. So we rescheduled our last session. 2 days later, she comes in, and now I'm in dread. I just want this to be over. And I knew in my mind, if she asked for more packages, I was going to say no, and I had made up my mind with conviction. She comes in, we do the last session, I'm present, she's present, the energy comes through beautifully, as it had with every session. She sits up, and she says, "Huh, I'm not in pain." And I'm like, "Yeah, right, you're an actress. I'm not believing that." I felt like she was doing it to appease me. She's like, "No, seriously, I'm not in pain." I'm like, "Yeah, okay. Take your cane. Walk home." And so I sent her off her way and told her to just keep me updated in the next few days. I didn't hear from her for 3 weeks. 3 weeks later, I get a call, and it's not Peggy Sue. It's Peggy Sue's daughter. And she calls me to thank me. And she said, "I have never seen my mom pain-free like this in more than 10 years. I said, "Are you sure? Your mom's a little bit of an actress. Like, are you sure she's not putting a performance on for you?" And she said, "That's what I thought at the beginning. And believe me, I'm the most skeptical of them all." First, we started going to the grocery store, and she didn't want to take her cane or her walker. And she never used to come to the grocery store with me. Then she started doing her own laundry, and I've done her laundry for the past 10 years because she could never bend down. Then she starts using the elliptical in the house. And that's when I knew something was up. She said, "I took her to the hospital to get retested, and the doctor said there are no signs of back injury whatsoever." Peggy Sue taught me something so incredibly important. She taught me that when you connect faith, when you connect your spiritual connection with consistency, miracles are possible. And right now, brothers and sisters, here on earth, people pray once, they do a meditation once, they come to church once, nothing happens, and they're like, "Nah, I give up." Right now, here on earth, people are so resistant to giving the Creator time on earth. And what is the Creator's love language? It's quality time. The Creator wants to connect with you every single day, so it can come through and give you the blessings that you need. And I want you to imagine a bottle of water. If this bottle of water was all the blessings and healing that you need in order for you to have your miracle, sometimes you can't drink this bottle of water at once. You have to take little sips, bit by bit. And then after you've taken your final sip, and all the energy and the miraculous has been marinating in your soul, the miracle comes forward. And so our job every day is to take a little sip and take a little sip and take a little sip and let the Creator's work marinate in the background of our soul until the miracle manifests itself, if it is meant to be. And whether that takes us a month or 10 years, it doesn't matter. Do you know why? Because we are faithful. Because we know our job every day is to just show up. And if we just give the Creator 10% of our day, what is 10% of 24 hours? That's just 1 hour a day. If we just completely devote ourselves to being marinated in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in the presence of the Creator for an hour a day, so much can change and shift in our lives. So I'm gonna leave you with a final channeling that I heard once, and this is the Creator's words, and it's so beautiful. My children, you want so many graces from me, but you give me so little time to deliver them through you. And that's the beautiful channeling. We want so many graces from the Creator, but how much time are we giving to meet with God every day? So come to the Creator with the sincerity of your heart. Make room for the Creator's presence in silence within yourself and see the miracles that happen in your life. And that is the formula of faith, and that is your birthright. Thank you so much.